Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Ordering your club gear is effortless with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the Northwest's leading supplier for GAA clubs at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Well, it's a very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme shortly, we'll be hearing from former Fin Harps player Joe Boyle to look ahead to a double weekend of games for Fin Harps and Derry City. We go to Monaghan to get the feel in the Farnay County ahead of Donegal's visit to Clonus in the quarter-final of the Ulster Championship this week. We speak as well to Shannon Side Northern Sound commentator Fergal Monaghan, while later on Richard Kerr will look ahead to his first full season on a BMW bike and the British Superbike Series, having joined Michael Laverty's new BSB team. So that's all coming up on The Score programme between now and 8 o'clock. We are going to start with League of Ireland and matters in relation to Fin Harps. Now, an independent appeal committee has rejected the appeals by Kerry FC and Fin Harps following their SSE or Trusty Men's First Division fixture back on the 14th of February. Kerry's appeal was in relation to the eligibility of player Esteban Stanek Floody, and Fin Harps FC in relation to the eligibility of player Gavin Hodgins. Now, the Independent Appeal Committee has upheld the original decision to annul the result of the fixture, meaning the result is void and neither team will receive any points from the tie. That was released earlier today, and indeed within the last couple of hours, Fin Harps have responded to news coming through off that failed appeal, where they have called for a review of player registration procedures with the League of Ireland following that appeal rejection earlier today. They have a lengthy statement, and just some of the nuggets from that. Harps are saying that they are extremely disappointed with the decision. The error actually took place at the player's previous club, and that had already been sanctioned for. So they say serious questions now arise as to how, even after the offence was dealt with once, that the situation was not dealt with by the governing body, so that a second club would not end up being punished for a circumstance that could not have been reasonably foreseen. They are asking now that the registration processes for matters such as these are reviewed and that the rules be looked at so that situations as this once again do not arise. So Harps extremely disappointed with the outcome of that decision by the Appeals Committee and indeed the FAI earlier today. On the pitch, Harps of course are looking into a double weekend of games. They've got Kerry tomorrow night, Friday, and then a trip to Oriel Park on Monday. As for Derry City, they're playing Galway in Galway tomorrow night, and then they welcome Sligo Rovers to the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium next Tuesday evening. Earlier today, I caught up with former Fin Harps player Joe Boyle as we looked ahead to those games and some others in the League of Ireland this weekend. So, Joe, glad to get talking to you. Good to catch up again. Welcome back to the Airwaves of Highland as we talk League of Ireland football, and I suppose a helter-skelter weekend, particularly for Harps. Two games coming up, Kerry against Dundalk. So I'm sure, no doubt, that Kevin McHugh will be looking for his side to continue their good vein of form that they've had over the last handful of matches.
Yeah, it's great that Kevin's finally getting back into the dugout tonight, and you know, coming off four positive results, two ones and two draws. It's a big night for Kevin and all his family as he finally gets into the dugout. I know he's been manager this last 3 weeks, but being in the dugout is going to be extra special for him tonight. And I think the performance over the last couple of weeks, where he's certainly got a bounce out of the players, and I'd be expecting to get a really positive result tonight in Finn Park when they line up against Kerry.
After the opening couple of games, have I said to you Harps would be a number of weeks down the line and looking to go five games unbeaten, you probably would have thought, Oisin, you're talking silly nonsense here, but that's the way it has panned out, and this young team seems to be growing and developing all the time.
Yeah, and I think that's where you take a young team like that. It's important to get a really good pre-season, and the way the League of Ireland set up now, the minute it's difficult to get that pre-season. So we've just gone through that first run of games, and Hearts are very fortunate that they lost that game down in Kerry, but Kerry lost the points for it. So from Hearts' point of view, you know, they didn't lose. That was 3 points that they didn't lose towards Kerry, and you know, they get a result tonight, that means they could jump ahead of Kerry, so that's going to be an important one. And then going to Dundalk next week, that's, or on Monday night, that's going to be a really, really challenging one, because Dundalk don't look like anybody in the league is going to be fit to put it up to them over a prolonged period of time.
Yeah, Harps are getting goals and they're forcing draws, and as we know, they had a couple of ones as well, but there's sort of a spread of scores, even though there's not that many goals, there is a spread of scores there, Joe, from Hearts.
Yeah, there is, and I think that's important. But I think for me, the last couple of weeks is the level of their play has certainly increased. You know, there's a lot more fluidness to their play. There's a lot more quality in their attack as well, and you know, young Gavin McAteer has been really, really positive for them in the last couple of weeks, and Josh Cullen came in last week alongside Tony McNamee, and you know, to think that you have 2 17-year-olds inside alongside Tony McNamee, and O'Cauley was out last week, but that's really, really important, and Thompson was out as well, so we'll be hoping that Harps will have a full squad to pick from this week. And I think the other positive for me is McGuinness, he's started banging in the goals as well, and that's really important, and getting enough balls to him, and you know, Patrick Ferry and Mikey Place and Gilmore have got important goals, as has Joel Bradley was. So trying to get as many lads on the score sheet as possible is going to be key for Harps as they move through the league.
Yep. Would you be confident that they can go five games unbeaten tomorrow night?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. I really would. And you know, if they could get a positive result on Friday, going to Dundalk, you'd be looking then to try and get a point down in Dundalk. How important would that be? Because the following week, then you're away to Cove, and then you're home to Treaty. So it's a big couple of weeks for them. So Kerry's one that they've really got to be looking for 3 points, and then pick up something on the road down in Cove and Dundalk. And then when you get Treaty back into Balfour, then that you'd be looking for a positive result then. Because the following week, then you're again at Lone. So it's important that when you've got a home match, that you've got to do it. But again, Hearts have been doing really, really well away from home. You know, they've only been beaten once away from home, so yeah. You know, that says a lot about maybe how they set up and play, and that they're solid, and then they can break, and they've got pace in the forward positions as well, and players who can link up the play to get them that. So it's important that they get something. But again, Kerry has been a difficult side for them over the last 18 months, so it's important that they get a good start and the crowd gets behind them on a Friday night.
Can they test Dundalk on Monday evening?
Absolutely, yeah. I thought in Balbuffet when they played Dundalk early in the season that Dundalk got the goal and sat in there. The other side of that is you're playing on the AstroTurf down in Dundalk. It's a big pitch, and again Dundalk are masters of the pitch there, and they've got a strong squad there, and they're getting goals from different positions, and their squad may be stronger where they can freshen it up with 2 or 3 players being introduced and a stronger bench then. So that's where Harps and Kevin are going to have to find a balance on Monday night, you know, trying to keep the team as fresh as possible, but trying to keep that strength in the team as well and consistency from Friday through to Monday.
Yep. I know that you mentioned earlier that this is Kevin in the dugout for the first time since he took on the role. What do you think Kevin's going to bring here to the table, and particularly on the line as well, Joe?
Well, Kevin was one of Harps' best strikers, and I think you see that now in the last couple of weeks since he's come in. There's been a real focus on how they're attacking. You know, against Wexford last week, I thought they were really unfortunate, the bits I've seen. You know, they were 2-1 up with 5 minutes to go. They hit the crossbar as well with McAteer, and you know, for me, they did come under pressure in the last 5 or 10 minutes, and that was a really, really important one there, that they held on to that point down in Wexford. It's a long journey back up the road, and I think that resilience that they showed in the last 10 minutes when they did come under pressure, and they were under pressure to hold on, I think that's key in big matches, and that's what they might need against Dundalk. You know, they might need that resilience to hold on and try and pick up a point away from home there.
Harps actually could find themselves in the playoff spot by the end of Friday night, depending on how the other results go, because Dundalk are playing Treaty and Cove are taking on UCD, and if there was wins for Dundalk and Cove, and Harps can get a one against Kerry, they actually would move into fifth in the table, which would be a very impressive position if that was to happen, Joe.
Oh, that'd be brilliant. You know, I think Harp's target this year's got to be getting enough points to get into them, hanging in around them playoff positions, going into that last run of games that they're in that position. So what you don't want to do is get caught adrift. And again, 3 points against Kerry would be a big, big, big performance for them, and an important result, because you leapfrog Kerry. You know, if Kerry managed to get the win, then they're 4 points clear. If you get that, you're 2 points clear of them, and that's a big, big positive. You know, you're putting down a marker against a team who's in that mid section of the table against you, so that victory is going to be very important.
Yeah. Let's move on to the Premier Division. Derry City, it's not going the way that their supporters were hoping. They suffered a fourth defeat of the campaign against Drogheda, and they just seemed to implode, so they did in that game, Joe. And they'll be looking for a bounce back because they are in Galway on Friday night, but it's not an easy place to go.
No, Derry's had a really difficult start. You know, to think they've only got 3 wins, you know, but the writing was on the wall that first night against Shelburne. You know, they were really well off the pace that night, and you know, Tiernan Lynch should be really disappointed. They went ahead last week and within seconds of the goal going in, they were down to 10 players, and that's not the way it should be. You know, you would have thought Derry were doing all right. They had the 2 wins and 2 draws mixed up, and then that defeat last week will be a very, very disappointing one for them. But again, you know, to think that they're only sitting on 11 points with the squad that they have, that'll be really, really disappointing. But the other side of it is, you look at the Premier Division, it's really, really competitive. You know, Drogheda are sitting top with 5 wins. Mm-hmm. You know, to think that, you know, a couple of years ago Shamrock Rovers were nearly going the whole season without getting a defeat. So it just shows the level of competition that's in that league. And you know, as you said, they're going to Galway. Galway came up and drew in the Brandywell a couple of weeks ago quite comfortably, and you know, they got defeated against Shamrock Rovers there 2 weeks ago, where it was their first defeat, and they've only one defeat. And you know, that says a lot about Galway and the way that John Caulfield and Ollie Horgan has them set up, and they're playing really, really well at the minute. And you know, for me, that Derry's got a really difficult task on Friday night.
Yeah, and then they have Sligo then at the Brandywell on Tuesday. So what would Tiernan Lynch be looking at of these two games now for the Kendal Stripes?
Of 6 points.
Yeah. Can he get the 6 then?
I wouldn't be putting any money on them getting 6 points, particularly going to Galway. And Sligo have been really unfortunate over the last couple of weeks. You know, John Russell's side has played really, really well, but silly individual errors has cost them in key moments in the matches. And you know, I think Sligo will be coming really looking to try and get something out of that match as well, because they're sitting bottom of the table on 4 points with only one victory. So it's a big, big weekend for Sligo, and I think that'll be a cracking derby match on Monday night.
And we're talking about Galway and Ollie Horgan, and they have Derry, but they've also got Shells in Dublin on Monday. So what do you think John Caulfield and Ollie Horgan saying to his team with two, basically against the two sides that were the top two places last season?
Yeah, I think it's great for the league to think that the boys are going down to take on Damien Duff's Shelburne down in Tolka Park on Monday night. I really think Damien Duff will get a tough, and it'll be tough on the pitch, but it'll also be tough on the sideline, where the boys will certainly make sure that they'll make it a competitive in both areas. I don't think Galway fear anybody at the minute. You know, they're full of confidence. They're playing really, really well. They're scoring a few goals. They're not conceding many. And for me at the minute, that's an important one. Maybe they're just not getting that amount of goals that they should get. But you know, against them, Galway have only conceded, is it 4 goals this season? So, or 8 goals this season. So that really is, that's tight going for a team like Galway, who do come under pressure and will sit back and let you have the ball, but they're well organised. And you know, in Tolka Park, I don't think they'll have any fears going there either.
Yeah. Pats seem to be involved in the two games of the weekend. They've got Shamrock Rovers on Friday night, and then they have Drogheda on Monday night. Two massive games for Stephen Kenny's side.
Yeah, look, it's great. And you know, I know they're saying it's a big Dublin centred league, but there's big games every weekend. You know, you're sitting down on a Friday night wondering, what game will I watch? Will I watch the televised game? Will I watch LOI TV? What will I watch? And you know, I think what I do myself when I'm not in Finn Park is you're switching between two or three different formats of watching the games, just to keep an eye on them. And you know, the games have been really competitive, but Stephen Kenny has done a good job. But I think we spoke earlier in the league that Drogheda were contenders to go down. You know, they nearly have enough points now to keep themselves up, and you know, they're really in a great position. I think Kevin Doherty has kicked on from the cup final. You know, he really has got that squad firing on all cylinders. And I don't think Pats will fancy taking on Drogheda on Monday night. right? And the Rovers game will be a cracking match. You know, Rovers got their victory during the week, so they're going into that full of beans as well. Mm-hmm. But they have played, and that means Rovers will have played three times in a week. So, yeah, you know, it'll be challenging for them as well over the weekend to make sure that their squad, but again, they have depth in their squad, as does Pats. And, you know, that's sometimes where the bigger squads will have the advantage come Monday night.
Yeah. Would it be a big statement from Stephen Kenny and his management team and the players if Pats was to come away with 6 points there?
Oh, that'd be huge. Really would. Like, you're taking points off who's the team above you and the team directly below you. That'd be a huge one. But the other side is Stephen Kenny come away with maybe 2 points or no points as well. So, you know what, it's a big, big weekend, and you know, it could shape a lot of things going into this next section of matches for teams. But again, it's an exciting weekend and a really, really positive weekend for the league.
Yeah. We're going to move away just finally, Joe, from the League of Ireland and to business matters closer to home and in the peninsula of Inishowen. The title in the Premier Division could be decided on Sunday. Buncrana Hearts are playing host to Coghill Celtic. A point will do for Buncrana. Coghill need to win to force a title playoff. And there's no doubt there will be a lot of eyes and ears on this match at the weekend, because it's probably could turn out to be the biggest game of the year down there.
Oh, it's going to be a tasty game. I think it could be the Battle of Buncrana at the youth club on Sunday. You know, when you look at what Gary Duffy has done with a squad, he won the league, he lost it last year at Coghill, so they're one each going into this. And Gavin Cullen, we know what Gavin has done with the Coghill team now for his now and coming up on 15 years, you know, where he's been there with them. So it will be really, really tasty. The interesting thing, I'm led to believe that maybe two of the Coghill lads will be suspended for the match. Sure. That will be a big loss to them, and that might mean a change of shape or a change of formation for Coghill there. And when you look at Buncrana, you know, Bart has been scoring goals for them. They'll need to make sure that they get him firing on all cylinders, and at the back, Michael Barr and Kevin O'Loughlin will have to make really, really sure. But again, when you look at Coghill, you'd have seen them once or twice before. I remember them going to Bonagie a couple of years ago in the last game, needing to get a big, big result. So more often than not, Coghill pull that out. But, you know, I think anybody that's not involved in matches on Sunday, it'll be certainly a tasty affair on Sunday. And wouldn't it be great to see them go to, have not alone this match, but to go to a playoff for the league? You know, that would be something special to see who could win the league in a cup final.
Well, Buncrana will not be thinking like that, so they'll want to come Sunday. Who's the more pressure on then going into this game?
Oh, it's very hard to play for a draw, and I don't think Gary Duffy's teams ever play for a draw. You know, Gary's the type of manager who'll be demanding that his players go and win, and home advantage. Look, it could come down to an error by some player, could come down to a referee indecision, you know, it could come down to a lot of things, but I don't think there'll be very much in this match. And for me, I personally would love to see it go to a playoff for the final, but I think Gary Duffy and them are in a very, very strong position, so I'm sitting on the fence on this one. I don't know which way it's going to go, but from a neutral point of view, I'd love to see them go head to head maybe in McGinn Park some night. Wouldn't it be great if we could go down and watch that?
Well, we'll have very close eyes and ears on what's going to happen down in Buncrana as the top two meet, and the title comes to what is set to be a very, very exciting conclusion. Listen, Joe, as always, it's good to catch up, and enjoy the football the weekend.
Thanks, Oshie.
That's Joe Boyle, former Finn Harps player, who spoke to earlier today to look ahead to the big games this weekend. By the way, that Buncrana Hearts Coghill Celtic game, 2 o'clock start. Chris Ashmore will be down watching that match for us for Highland Radio Sunday Sport this weekend. And Finn Harps clash against Kerry FC tomorrow night kicks off at 7:45 at Finn Park. Dermot Doherty, of course, will be there for Highland Radio Sport with live regular updates from that clash tomorrow night as well. Okay, we are going to go for a commercial break. When we come back, we will be heading to the Farnay County to get the feeling in Monaghan ahead of their clash with Donegal in the Ulster Championship this coming Easter Sunday.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking a full range of Donegal jerseys and leisurewear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to the Score programme tonight. We now go to the County of Monaghan to look forward to the Ulster Championship quarter-final. The last of the quarter-final ties is on this coming weekend, and Donegal, of course, are involved in that at St Shernock's Park in Clonus. 2 o'clock is the throw-in time. I'll be joined by the two Brendans, Brendan Devaney and Brendan Kilcoyne, for full match commentary, and we'll be live from Clonus as from 1:30 on Sunday. And indeed, so will the guys at Shannonside Northern Sound. They'll be in their commentary position as well, I'm delighted to say. One of them joins us now on the programme, commentator with Shannonside Northern Sound, Fergal Monaghan, joins us this evening on The Score. Hiya, Fergal.
Well, Shane, great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Listen, delighted to talk to you, Fergal. Big game coming up. The Division 2 champions are heading into their Ulster campaign in good fettle, so they are. What's the feeling down there at the moment ahead of this game on Sunday against one of the sides that's been tipped for a possible Sam Maguire tilt this year?
You know, it's interesting, Oisin. I haven't bumped into yet matches lately. We've been ships in the night. You've been Division 2, we were Division 1, now the opposite this year. But we're gonna cross paths eventually again in Clonus. And it's been a great year for Monaghan, because in 2023 we were in an All-Ireland semi-final against Dublin, performed well. And then we had a terrible year last year, got relegated, you know, got ourselves a bit back up and running in the Championship. Went down narrowly to Galway in Salt Hill. And this year, we went in with no expectations. You know, some people saying it's okay to stay in Division 2. We never really looked too far ahead. We weren't under pressure to go straight back up. As it turned out, we built momentum in the league. The new rules, we took to it like a duck to water. To suit us, we've got very, very pacey half-forwards and half-backs. You know, pace inside. So the breaking ball, the way now the ball's going long, we have Rory Began in the goals, two-pointers. All of this has kind of fallen into Monaghan's hands, really. And we just started getting better and better throughout the year. And before we knew it, we were promoted with a game to go, really. And then a brilliant performance against Roscommon in Croke Park. And for those reasons, and I suppose with our history over the years with Donegal, with some great battles, and we had some great days. I mean, our two Ulster championships in recent memory were against you. And that gives us a bit of hope. We're under no illusion, though, Oisin. I mean, you have Michael Murphy back. You know, we laugh about a bit of a joke. The man who made the rules, he's back now to really play them as well. And he's there with, you know, that man on the sideline, McGuinness. Like, it gives you such confidence and such belief. But Monaghan are fresh. And I really do feel Monaghan have nothing to lose here. There's no pressure on it. You know, Donegal are contenders for the All-Ireland. Nobody's mentioning Monaghan. And Monaghan will feed into that. Oftentimes, we go in as favourites and we don't perform. This is a real intriguing battle. You know, will it be as open and cavalier as Division 2 was for Monaghan, where we just went for it? You know, wasn't it kind of structured as the Division 1 game? Or will it be more of a chasing game, a cat and mouse game, where people will just, where teams will try and hold the ball for longer periods, try and take the sting out of the game? I think that will have to happen, because the last thing Monaghan need is for Donegal to get ahead of them. And with the power Donegal possess in that midfield area, that's the one area where I'd have a little bit of concern. They could just starve Monaghan of possession, starve us of oxygen. But if Monaghan gets some sort of foothold, Oisin, in the midfield area, where we have Micheál McCarville, where Gary Mohan, who's back, he usually plays as a full forward, will come in there. We have Gavin McPhillips, a young player who's come in now this year from Scotstown. He's about 6'5" or 6". We're going to need all these guys, because there's a young man called Jason McGee going to be playing his trade in Monaghan with Cardiff this year in club football. But you have lots of other men along that bank in that four, and even Michael Murphy to come out and win primary possession. Yeah. We've got to get the ball on the ground, Oisin, yeah, and make it into a dogfight and win that breaking ball. And if we can do that and do enough of it, then we can ask questions of this formidable outfit that, yeah, Donegal are.
How important are the roles of both Rory Began and Sean Patton going to be this weekend for their respective sides, Fergal, do you believe? Because we've got the two of the best goalkeepers in the country here.
Yeah, absolutely. Rory Began, I look at Rory Began this year, Oisin, and I wonder how did we... Well, we struggled last year without him. Probably why we got relegated without him. He has been probably the most influential player on the pitch throughout the league. Himself and Dylan Byrne are the only players who played every minute of the league for Monaghan. Dylan made his introduction this year, his debut year. But Rory Began, he's kicking two-pointers, as you're well aware of, and that's going to be something Donegal, I know Donegal defend the arc really well, but there's, you know, they won't want to foul between 65 metres inwards, because that's Began territory. So there's that impact. But Rory Began also comes out the field, Oisín, and he doesn't just come out as a token gesture like a lot of goalies do. They'll run out the pitch and give a 2 meter hand pass and run back in. Like, Began's there, he's trying to get a shot away, maybe. If he doesn't get the shot away, he's pulling the defender towards him and releasing then the loose forward. Also can pass the ball, kind of like a quarterback there. He can just give a 40, 50 meter pass into the forwards as well. But on, and for that reason, you know, Began is incredibly important. He can even come out and be like a third or fourth midfielder to try and break that number seven channel if Patton goes long. But Sean Patton's kickouts, and Donegal, the worrying thing for Monaghan, and the thing that Monaghan need to look at, most teams struggle on their own kickout. Monaghan have struggled on their own kickout because you're really putting the ball out there and it's a battleground between the two 65s to see who can win it cleanly or win the breaking ball. And momentum can swing as a result. But I think Sean Patton's ability to get his own kick out to a player is very, very important. Like, I mean, that gives Donegal such a platform because they're so good with ball in hand. Look, Seamus McEnany was on our podcast and he was thinking that maybe Monaghan would give up the kick outs to Donegal. I don't think Monaghan will. I think Monaghan won't change the way they've been playing. I think they're going to go and they're going to just shoot it out with Donegal and let the cards fall what way they may, and I hope that is the case, Oisín, because if it does, we're going to, and if both sides kind of can get enough possession and take their chances, I tell you, when we go down the stretch in the last 10 minutes, we could be really letting the microphone roar into it, because it could be serious, serious atmosphere in Clonus, because it's going to be a full house.
What worries you about Donegal?
Look, what worries me about Donegal, as I said it there, Oisín, is the power. Yeah. You know, you have other lads coming in, young Kieran Muir coming in, he's been excellent. You have Caelan McGonigal there, you have Oran McFadden Ferry. Like, your halfbacks can match our half forwards for pace. Petter Mogan, Ryan McHugh, Caelan McGonigal. You have Hugh McFadden and Kieran Moore going really well. Michael Murphy coming in as well.
How do you avoid that power then, Fergal? How do you go about as a Monaghan player?
Here's the question. Do Monaghan go toe-to-toe with these big guys, put on our own? We have Desi Ward, we have Gavin McPhillips, we have Neil McCarville, and we have Gary Moe. Do we put all four of them men on the pitch at the same time and just go toe-to-toe and try to win that breaking ball? Do not allow Michael Murphy and the likes to come out and win primary possession cleanly. Because if Donegal get the ball in hand, they can hold possession, they can transition at such pace. I was really impressed with Kieran Murray. He's down as a number four last couple of weeks ago against Derry. He's playing as a half-back, even as a midfielder, took his score really well. Darrow Boyle rejuvenated as well. So, like, there's a fresh... You know, that's what Donegal do when McGuinness is on the sideline. He brings the best out of these guys. They're all singing off the same hymn. So you could run through a wall for him, really. Like, and they do anything for him. And that's what it's really all about. That's what worries me about Donegal. Yeah. That if they hog possession, if they starve Monaghan possession, if they get a foothold in the midfield area and Monaghan are living off scraps, well, then Monaghan are going to struggle. Because if Monaghan get the ball enough, Oisín, with the likes of Conor McCarthy, Desi Ward, Micheál Banigan, Ryan McInnesby, Stephen O'Hanlon has been a revelation. Monaghan have paced the board, and Donegal did get opened a few times against Derry. Nobody likes being ran at. So if Monaghan get the opportunity to get the ball and to get those pacey players running at Donegal, then they're going to ask Donegal questions. My worry and my fear is that Donegal will get that platform to own possession. Now, Monaghan can either go toe-to-toe with them, or they can just keep 11 men behind the ball at all times to try and just nullify it and make it into a stranglehold, make it into like a battle, an attritional game, which Monaghan haven't been doing all year and didn't need to do in Division 2, whereas in Division 1 games, Donegal were able to play a bit more of a structured game. You'll see the games weren't as high-scoring as they were in Division 2, and defences weren't given away as much, particularly Donegal. So there's the conundrum. The question is, are Monaghan going to go toe-to-toe and match up with Donegal, or are they going to try and make it sticky, try and get back and defend in numbers? And perhaps, as Seamus McEnany said, give up the kick out and just defend and allow Donegal to try and build up slowly. I just don't think the new rules allow you to do that. I think Donegal are too good and too pacey, and I think giving them the ball wouldn't be a good idea. Yeah. I hope Monaghan back themselves. Remember, it's only been a year and a half ago since Monaghan were in an All-Ireland semi-final. So, like, they're not a bad team overnight, and I think they're at home, and I think they're going to bring the game to Donegal, and that's what I hope to do. But we're under no illusion here, Oisín. Donegal are hot favourites.
Yeah.
But that's often the case when Monaghan play football, and we love that.
And listen, there's a bit of change in that Monaghan squad, obviously, since a couple of years ago as well. But listen, Donegal are targeting the Anglo-Celt Cup again, and if they go on to retain that title and become champions of Ulster again, if Monaghan are to run Donegal close and get in with a good performance into the All-Ireland series, would that be good enough for Monaghan supporters, would it, Fergal?
It would be good enough, because there's a real sense of goodwill in Monaghan and for this team. They're playing lovely football, Oisín. I don't know, you might have got opportunities sometimes in Division 1 and Division 2, we don't get a chance to see each other, but Monaghan are playing really positive front foot football. As I say, with the two pointers, that's a place where they can hurt Donegal. Not just Rory Beggan, but we have other players chipping in. So, like, you know, there's a lot to be happy with Monaghan. I suppose we just want to find out, how are we going to stack up against a Division 1 team? You know, is there a big difference? And this is going to be the biggest litmus test of all. And there is goodwill. If Monaghan put in a serious performance against Donegal, the problem is the layoff. But they'll be in really good shape going into that Sam Maguire. And, you know, realistically, you know, you'd probably take that from a Monaghan point of view. But look, I'm a Monaghan man, and just something in my gut says this one could go to the wire, provided Monaghan don't give up a lead to Donegal. Because if Donegal get on the front foot and take a lead, Monaghan are going to struggle. But if Monaghan, like they did over the years, get into this game and keep it, that they're keeping that scoreboard ticking over, well, you know, the questions will be asked in the last 10 minutes. But we're under no illusion, Oisín. Like, you're the favourites. You know, and that's not just, you know, doing the cute stuff that the Kerry boys do. You are the favourites. You know, the bookies have you the favourites, and rightly so. But Monaghan love that, and it's tailor-made for Monaghan now to put in a massive performance. Underdogs at home, full house in Clonus, with momentum in their sails. And we saw this year, Oisín, in matches, but in general, how important is momentum for a team going into the championship? When you get the wind in your sails, you know, good things can happen.
Okay, well, we wait to see what happens with a lot of interest this coming weekend. We're looking forward to getting back to Clonus. That's, of course, where we won the Ulster title last year. Now, we're hoping there's no penalties this time around. But we're looking forward to the game and looking forward to meeting up with yourselves and the Shannon side Northern Sound team once again, Fergal, on Sunday.
No bother, Rush. We'll have a cup of tea and a bit of crack, and looking forward to seeing you, and looking forward to a great match. And best of luck to all the fans travelling down from Donegal. We're looking forward to seeing you all.
Yeah, hopefully we get a good game. Thanks, Fergal. Talk soon. See you Sunday.
Thank you.
There you go. That's Fergal Monaghan. It's great to get an insight from the opposition county ahead of a big Ulster Championship game this weekend. Don't forget, of course, if you're not there in Clonus, you can tune Highlands Way. Well, we'll have it fully live for you here. I'll be joined by Brendan Devaney and Brendan Kilcoyne. And by the way, we'll also have the DL debate, where we're going to bring it forward a day early from Monday to Sunday. And that's going to be live from Clonus as well, from after 4 o'clock. It's going to be part of our Sunday sports show. So Brendan Devaney's DL debate with his guests will be live from Clonus on Sunday after the Monaghan Donegal game at 4 p.m. The Donegal Miners are starting their championship this weekend. It's a 12 o'clock start at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. They are also taking on Monaghan. It's been confirmed that Donegal will play Cavan in the Ulster Under 20 Championship semi-final next Wednesday night at McCool Park in Ballybuffet. We'll also have full live commentary from that Under 20 semi-final for you right here in Highland next Wednesday. The other semi-final is Tyrone against Derry. On the hurling front, Donegal play their second game in the Christy Ring Cup on Saturday. Starts at 2 o'clock. They play Wicklow. Chris Ashmore will have updates from that game on a Saturday. Tyrone are taking on Meath in the competition as well. And Derry are off to London on Sunday as they play their tie in Roislip in the Christy Ring competition too. So there you go, just some of the fixtures this weekend, inter-county wise, involving North West sides. The time is coming up on 20 minutes to 8 o'clock. What we'll do now is go for a quick commercial break, and we're going to talk motorbikes after these.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Get all your GAA essentials at Michael Murphy Sports, the go-to place for outdoor training gear and more at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to the Score programme here on Highland. In our final section tonight, we're looking at motorcycling and British superbikes in particular. Donegal's Richard Kerr will compete in his first full season in the UK Superbike Series this year. It was confirmed last weekend that Richard will be the sole rider in Michael Laverty's new team and will be riding a BMW in 2025. In the coming days, he will be putting the bikes through its paces at Donington Park. And en route to testing, Richard dropped into Highland this week to talk to me about the next chapter in his career. So, Richard, thanks for joining us in studio once again and dropping in to Highland. You're very welcome again to look forward to what's going to be another exciting time in your career.
Yeah, Sasha, thanks for having me here. So, 2025 is looking more exciting than ever. This year, we're stepping up to the British Superbike Championship for my first full season in the class, so I'm very excited.
Yeah. What's different then about this year compared to last year? Obviously, you stepped into the Superbike, but there wasn't a lot of testing, and it was a case of getting the bike and do the race, and it was obviously only part of the season. This is the full season, so obviously there's a lot more work going to be done. I take it this time around you can test. You're the only rider on the Superbike for this new team, so I take it it's totally different to what it was last year, the sort of the setup and the surroundings for you.
Definitely going to be a lot of changes this year. Number one biggest change will be riding a BMW full time this year. For the last 4 years I've been riding the Honda Fireblade, so this year we're moving to the BMW 1000. It's going to be completely different, but I have done a few wildcard races last year with Taz BMW and Burroughs Racing as well, so I'm a wee bit more familiar with the BMW, but it'll be nice now to get, well, hopefully with the weather being good this week, we'll at Donington Park we'll get some good dry laps in to understand the bike, and even as a team together, it's the first time this team's, you know, being all put together, so there's a lot of testing for mechanics, myself, the bike, understand the bike. There's a lot to get through this testing coming up in 2 days at Donington and 2 days at Oulton, so there's a lot to get through, but you know, I believe I have a real good team around me to do the job.
How did this all come about? Because you had sort of other options for Superstock on the table for this year, but then this move happened alongside Michael Laverty, who brings this new team. Well, it's not that a case that he's new to it. He has a lot of teams, so he does, at different sorts of levels across different championships, but it's the first time that he's gone on to Superbike and have a Superbike rider. So how did this move come about for you, Richard?
Well, for Michael's been involved the last maybe 5 years in racing. You know, once he retired from racing, he's been the MotoGP and BSB and Superbike, so he's always helped on the younger riders in Moto3, so he's got his own teams in World Championship, British Championship and the Junior World Championship, so this is something he always wanted to do, was to move into Superbikes, and it's happened a lot sooner than he and or even ourselves kind of expected it, because it normally these things could take 6 months to a year to organise, and we've all managed to do it in the space, well, when I say we, Michael and the team has managed to do it in 3 months, so things have moved very fast lately. And you know, once the opening came for the BMW to support the team, you know, that's a massive thing for a team to get that. So to get that straight away was really good, and for me especially, just having the, you know, having the right bike and package and right access to the right, you know, parts for bikes and data and stuff like that. You know, it's a massive head start for me, and makes it a little bit easier. You know, so And we know Michael, you know, Michael's from Ireland here as well, Nick, so we know him throughout the years. We've always followed him, and through motocross and stuff, we've, my dad more so knew him throughout, so we kind of had a connection already, and that's how it really kicked off. You know, he knows what I can do in a bike, he knows, he likes helping out the Irish boys as well, like, so, you know, here we are now.
Yeah, obviously there's a lot of confidence in you that he's made you his rider and Superbike. There is a team of riders there. They're also going to run a bike in the super stock as well, but for you to be the sole Superbike rider, obviously he sees some potential in you, because he's bringing a lot to the table here.
Well, that's it. I hope they, I know exactly the results do the talking, I guess. You know, that's the only thing you can go off, it's a bit of paper at the end of the day. So I know the British tracks quite well. You know, we won this championship in 2023, and then we went to Moto America last year. So it was, again, every track was brand new. It was. I had a good year, but again, learning the tracks was difficult, especially in 2 half-hour practice sessions when you're racing against guys that have been there for, you know, 10 years maybe. So this year will be good going back to tracks I'm familiar with. But I've been away from the tracks from a year, but I know they haven't changed much. So let's see what we can do.
Okay. What's your goals then for this year? Have they changed much from the last time we spoke in relation to Superbike? Obviously, looking for big improvements and hopefully getting some serious results, is it?
Exactly. You know, it's going to be a big grid this year. That's the thing with Superbikes. There's 25, I think, on the grid this year. And every single one of them is a race winner in some sort of category. And most, probably half of them, are champions as well in each class. So that's where, you know, the top boys all get the Superbikes eventually somehow. So it's a tough, you know, it's a tough field. Everyone's talented. So ideally, you know, at the start, you know, it's a bit all up in the air. Ideally, I'd like to be getting into the points, which is top 15, and then if we can start doing that, try and do it consistently, and then move on to top 10s. And if we can get that far that quick, as soon as I'm, you know, if I get in the top 10s, then aim for top 5s and so on. Like, but, you know, again, this is the first year is always the hardest year, but, and for myself and the team, you know, I don't think there's any pressure in that side of things. It's just as long as, for me personally, as long as I'm getting quicker each round, that's the main thing.
Yeah, because there's not a massive difference in time between top five and I suppose 15th in these races, because it's like there's nothing really in it. It's a very, very quick sport, so it is. But it mightn't seem much to me, but I know to you on a bike, at times something very small can be very big.
No, exactly. You know, especially in the Superbike class, everything's so much more competitive and tighter again. So, you know, from 1st to 15th, you are talking under 1.5 seconds, and that could be around a lap of a minute and 40 seconds. So it is super competitive. And then, you know, once you're getting into them top 10s, you know, it could be less than a second separating top 10 riders. So it is so such little differences. When you look at, you know, on paper, it's like, oh, I finished 15th. It's like, oh, that doesn't sound that great. But then when you look at the times sheets and the lap times, there's very little in it, you know. And that's the thing with most classes in, you know, any competitive racing, but anyone into any competitive sports knows how marginal difference it is. But Superbikes is at another level of, you know, again, everyone's super talented. So yeah, we'll see what happens.
You're excited about this then, finally?
No, definitely really excited. You know, Superbikes were every, you know, someone when I started racing, especially in the British Championship, that's when you looked and, right, how do I get to there? And, you know, each year we've done the steps, you know, got quicker. Would have, you know, ideally perfect thing would have been after winning the Superstock Championship to jump straight in, but that wasn't the case. So we had only a year in America, and now the opportunity has came. So I'm super excited, and, you know, I'm really lucky for Michael and, you know, Sean. They're also doing a lot of work behind the scenes getting this all put together. And then, of course, you know, all my local sponsors here and sponsors from all over the country and even abroad that, you know, have my back, and, you know, they're delighted. I want to do the best job I can for them, but it's really to all these people for making this possible. So, you know, just this, hopefully have a good year and I can reward them with all the support they've given me.
Okay. Thanks for calling in once again, Richard, and wish you the very best of luck in testing, which is taking place this weekend, and obviously with the new Superbike season ahead, the best luck with it.
Thanks very much, Oisin.
There you go, that was Richard Kerr, who called in earlier today, en route to the UK, heading off to Donington to test that Superbike BMW ahead of the start of the new season. Just finally recapping once again what our top sporting story is tonight. Finn Harps have called for a review of player registration procedures with the League of Ireland after their appeal to an FAI committee was rejected today. Both the Donegal club and Kerry were sanctioned after the FAI's ruling that they had each fielded an ineligible player in their first division meeting on the 14th of February. The Harps player in question was Gavin Hodgson. And in a statement, which is available now on our website, HounandRadio.com, Finn Harps say they are extremely disappointed with the decision, and that the error took place at his previous club, and that that club had already been sanctioned for it. So serious questions now arise as to how, even after the offence was dealt with once, that the situation was not dealt with by the governing body, so that the second club, which turned out to be Finn Harps, would not have ended up being punished for the circumstance. So that has now led to Harps calling for the registration processes for matters such as these be reviewed, and that the rules be looked at, though, so that situations such as this one do not arise again. And that is it from the Score programme for tonight. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you will be able to recap shortly in the sports section of our website, HighlandRadio.com. Chris Ashmore's back with our next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. So what's left of your Thursday, enjoy, and of course have a wonderful Easter weekend as well.